The shit show.
Yeah, that was a shit show.
All right.
Hey, well, Morgan.
Hey, Anthony. How?
Oh my God. What?
How are we doing?
What's your problem? What's your issue?
No problem. It's just Monday. You know?
You know what's funny? I was doing social media for a client today, and I realized, do you want to know something I realized?
What?
I'm like not good at doing social media at all. Like there's certain tropes that I just like don't hit. And I called my client and I was like, I want to do this picture, but I'm like blanking on a caption. Like I have no idea what to say. And she was like, oh, well maybe do something like driving into the new work week, because she was in a car.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's genius. I was going to be like, vroom, vroom. Like,
well, because I feel like, no, you want to make it like, you want to make it obvious, but not too obvious, I feel. And you want to make it creative too. So I don't know. I suck at social media. I really do suck at it.
No, you don't. Well, you've been posting more. Well, you were posting a lot in like the fall, but now you kind of ghosted everybody.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say to that. Can we like start over?
What's wrong with you?
I'm not in a good headspace. One second.
What's wrong? It's nervous. She's nervous because she has a tarot card reader here.
No, maybe, but I think.
What's wrong? Do you want to tell me something that's on your mind?
I just have a work call at 8:30 and I really don't want to do it.
Well, then what you got to do is you got to say, listen, I'm going to be about 15 minutes late. Sorry, I have my period.
I can't. I have to go on at 8:30.
God, well, that's disturbing. So, Morgan, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Do you feel like on this Monday you're centered or not centered?
No.
Mm-mm. You're not centered? Do you think, are you horny a lot lately?
No, I'm not horny. I'm good in that department, but I feel like not grounded. I think, first of all, I was supposed to go home this weekend, and that was like in my head, and then my dance rehearsal, which I was coming home for, got switched to this upcoming weekend. So I'll be home this weekend, which is exciting. I don't know what it is. It's not good. It's not a good feeling though.
I think you could like lean into it a little bit.
Mm-mm. Maybe. No. Maybe. Mm-mm. I don't know. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. I feel like I'm like juggling. Okay. So they were like, Morgan, we're inviting you into the circus this week. Okay. You're going to be juggling. And I don't have the words to say to the director, I don't know how to juggle.
Huh. Okay. Cause you can't speak the circus language. It's just not happening.
Mm-mm. The ringleader.
Okay. Well, I think that you are going to come out as head clown. That's my prediction.
Oh God.
So my advice to you from a non-professional at this is just, I say lean into it. I think when things are chaotic, lean into the chaos, because eventually it's all going to circle back. Mm-hmm. Can't get too chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that it works out. I don't like seeing you frazzled, but I actually secretly do at the same time.
That's nice.
In a good way, you know what we
thank
get.
You. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, maybe we have somebody here that can help center you.
I think
can help you out.
No, I'm very, you know what it is? I am nervous that he's here, David. I am nervous that you're here because I base a lot of my faith in astrology, most of it.
Yeah.
And people think I'm crazy for believing so wholly, you know, wholly in Tao into it, but I really, really do. And sometimes I feel like I shouldn't so much because then you put things in buckets and all that stuff.
In buckets.
And
yeah.
So I think I am definitely nervous for the first time.
Guys,
this is the most nervous I've been on a podcast.
Yeah.
Let me just say something. I don't know either of you. First of all, let me just say what I loved so much about the Fran Lebowitz docuseries is anytime people would ask her for advice and she would say, I don't care. So I don't know either of you. You both seem perfectly lovely. I have I have some questions about Anthony, but I would just say that generally, I am not come here to like lay siege on you. And also, by the way, I would never claim to have any psychic foothold over anyone I ever read, because that would get me in a lot of trouble if I told them, like, yeah, things are going to be great for you. Like, marriage is in the cards. And then, of course, that doesn't happen. So, right. Yeah, I am here to talk about anything you're interested in. And I have no plan on unraveling your cosmic framework of the universe.
You can unravel my cosmic framework any day.
Again, Anthony, I think we're already, you know, past the point of no return with you. I don't know how much more unraveling we can do with you, but I'm happy to.
Oh my God.
All right, so we're here with David Odyssey.
Hi, David.
From
The Luminaries with David Odyssey, which is a great podcast on...
Thank you.
Authentic Podcast Network.
That's
and
true.
I think you just answered my first question that I have, which is... Is tarot reading and astrology like congruent with people who have psychic abilities? Like, I don't know really the difference or the intricacy.
Also, is the T, the last T in tarot, is that silent?
Interesting. Well, then some people say tarot, which is extremely chic. You know what I mean? Paris in the 70s, but I don't know what. I actually have no idea. That's kind of a harem or harem. I have a lot of those, and I always think that I sound so intelligent, and then 5 years later, you know, you realize. So I actually don't know. I say tarot. Some say tarot. I wasn't sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Those who are listening, I am so sorry.
Babe, I am with you. I feel like, you know, at the end of La Vie en Rose, at the end of any biopic about like a woman singer, how they show her when she's like old and busted and being wheeled around. That is how I have felt all day. I'm just like, someone, please take me by the hand into traffic. I feel bombed out. I'm completely with you.
All right, we're on the same way.
You pronounce it biopic?
That's how I say it. Biopic.
Isn't it biopic?
No,
it's
no,
myopic.
Okay, here we are.
It's myopic biopic.
Biopic.
No, it's myopic. Biopic.
Touché.
Biopic. It's biopic, right?
It's myopic with an M and biopic with
biopic.
A B.
No, it's not biopic. No, it's biopic. A biopic. Please tell me that it's biopic because I was on a date and I said the word biopic like 7 times.
I trust David the most with the pronunciation.
No, because now there's also Bionic, the Christina Aguilera bisexuality album.
And then there's also like...
Tour.
Yeah.
And there's also...
Binocular.
Bionicles.
Bionicles. Bisexual.
All right, everybody.
Body Worlds,
the
exhibition where they take prisoners' bodies. Okay. I would say yes. A lot of people who are like a little tapped into the transmissions, it's a good framework. But also, by the way, like there are people who can just, you know, there's a whole, I think it's very archetypal. It's very like, it can be totally symbology based. I tell everyone before I read them that I am not a psychic, that it's an archetypal reading. We're going to do it together. Because I do think if you say flat out that you have psychic powers, they are going to feel like they can just go on autopilot while you talk. And I prefer if I'm reading someone that they're actually like in it with me and that they're like,
good, good.
Yeah. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. And I think everyone has some form of empathic psychics has a little bit of something. Some people have it more than others.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And that actually is something you can see in a person's astrology chart too, which is wild. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
Definitely. I mean,
well,
for me,
I like that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you say autopilot because I've been to a couple of psychics and never tarot called reading, but the psychic, like when she starts talking, I do zone out.
Right.
It's
exhausting.
Because like it's been a woman every time, but every time they say something, I then go off on like a rabbit hole of like just like a deep dark thought or like something that doesn't have anything to do with what they're saying. So interesting point.
And it's also,
I agree.
Tell me.
Well, so like I went to a psychic one time who I felt like I was on autopilot the whole time, and I almost felt like she gaslit me into like believing certain things that, because like you can't you don't interrupt. Like, you don't tell them, no, mm-hmm. no, no, no.
And right. she you just like, nod your head like this. Oh.
Yeah, uh-huh. she was like, you are going to be, like, with a fabulous woman, and you guys are going to have a big house and a lot of kids, and I'm seeing it very soon in the next 10 years. And I was like, I don't think it's going to be a woman. And she was like, yeah, it is. It is. I'm telling. That's what I'm seeing. She was like, I'm seeing a woman. And I was like, I don't think so.
And it's mortifying. And that's why I'm like, I always say to people, like, if anything I'm saying isn't resonating, you can just shout that out, because it's humiliating for me. Otherwise, if I'm like talking to a mother of three about how, right. you know, she's been single forever, like, it's right. just mortifying. Yeah. So right, I am right. completely. Yes. And I also just think, like, it is so punishing to, like, pay for someone to heal you and then expect that you will retain all everything they're saying to you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why, I mean, we can get into this, but yeah. I have done Landmark Forum, and I do think that sort of thing is kind of bullshit for a lot of reasons, because, like, you have to be in, like, either a 12-step program or therapy or, like, church or something, mm-hmm. because you go every week. The idea of going to one session of something and being, like, fixed is outrageous.
Right. Totally.
So I would never put that pressure on someone of, like, I'm going to talk for an hour and you have to retain everything I say. Like, it's exhausting.
Wait, so David, quick question. In your experience, what's, like, the number one reason people go to psychics or go get their cards read or want, you know, like, their birth chart read?
So tarot, the number one thing anyone asks is career and love. Mm-hmm. Astrology, I think, is usually when someone is... I think it's like when you've started on a path and you're mm-hmm. second guessing it and you're wondering if it's a blip. Astrology gives a framework of, like, okay, no, you're actually supposed to be doing this. So okay. astrology, especially during the pandemic, and especially, like, when we didn't know who the president was going to be again, mm-hmm. astrology is really good for giving you a sense of, like, okay, where the hell am I and what is going on? Especially when you're like, right, I'm like, 30, like, I think when you're around this age, exactly. Or you're like, am I doomed to be repeating these patterns for the rest of my life? It's that sort of a thing.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I'm just a strong believer in the universe and, like, energy and, like, frequency. So, like, I heard you mention retrograde a little earlier, and we were just, you know, bullshitting and talking about it. And, like, I like
Morgan
to track.
Morgan warns me every time that it's coming.
I like to track retrograde because it has such a negative connotation to it. Like, oh my God, communication's going to be lost and your TV's not going to work and you're not going to have Wi-Fi and you don't book a flight and, like, all this stuff. And it, to me, what in my experience, and I've seen it with, like, Anthony too, is that it's not necessarily, like, negative frequencies. It's just, like, the frequencies that you're on get, like, shifted a little bit. So there's, like, change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel
that.
Like, I've noticed that, like, when we do retrogrades, like, not we do them as if we create them. When the retrogrades happen, yeah. and Morgan and I are riding on that retrograde, more for Morgan, I see it as always like she's realized something during a retrograde. And for
that.
Me, what I thought that I was going to realize, it doesn't, like, what I thought I was going to realize before the retrograde, like, doesn't happen. And I spiral during a retrograde, but not in a bad way. I just always look better during a retrograde. I take better photos. And do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I can't explain it, but then I never know when the retrograde ends. And maybe that's when I crash.
It ended 2 days ago.
Thank okay, God. So that makes sense. That actually makes so much sense.
So now I'm catching you in the downfall.
Well, I feel like my entire life is just kind of one straight yes. no. down. No. But sometimes a gust of wind just goes like this with me. And I'm just
you're
like,
riding the wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, me and Morgan have not seen each other in a really long time, and we haven't been talking like we usually talk,
yeah.
which is every day. I feel like my energies have been slightly off since then.
Same here. Since,
yeah.
Mine too.
So, yeah.
I am constantly, I'm just like, what is it going to take for me to feel any sense of vitality in this lifetime? I'm 30. I am so decrepit, and I am just like, what is it?
You're not
and
decrepit.
Maybe is there an acupuncture budget? Where does that budget come from? So, you know, just a lot of those questions. So I'm with you. I feel totally like what's my name? Where am I? You know.
Well, let me know a little. We want to know about you. So let's play a game.
Yes. Okay?
Go on.
We're going to do a little speed round, 10 questions. Okay. And you got to answer them in like 10 seconds or less. Okay.
Go on.
All right. Favorite food from the school cafeteria?
Pizza bagels.
Okay, great. Morgan, you're next.
If you were to be one article of clothing, what would you be?
Bell bottoms.
I love it.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay, favorite pop singer? Nine.
Kylie Minogue.
Okay.
Great. Oh my God. Okay. What actor would play you in a movie? Or actress?
Taron Egerton.
Yeah.
Oh my God, hot. I love that.
Really hot, yeah.
Okay, what turns you on the most?
Right now, feet.
Oh my feet? God. David, you have to listen to our last episode, or two episodes ago.
We had a poll. Well, it's not out. It's not out yet. But or it will be out. Okay, I'm fucking it up. Never mind. Okay. Is it your turn, Morgan?
Yes. Yeah. What's your favorite aspect about yourself?
I just, you know what? This is actually something I was thinking about today that we should talk about, that I thought was a favorite thing about me that I'm actually questioning.
Okay, we'll circle back.
Yeah, we'll circle back.
Yeah, let's circle back to that.
Now, what do you like about yourself the least?
I think that I act like a housewife sometimes. I think that I am truly like, I act like a martyr whose like children don't care about her. And I'm just like washing dishes and mad at the world. It's like enough already. My martyr complex is outrageous.
Fucking ditto.
I'm wondering if you two are the same sign.
Well,
go on.
Okay, make that your question.
What's your horoscope? What's your zodiac sign?
Aquarius, rising, Taurus, sun, Libra, moon.
Oh no.
And Mars in Pisces, which is why I like feet.
Interesting. Interesting, right. Interesting. Nope, so you guys aren't the same sign, but that's interesting. Okay, Anthony, go.
Okay, and last question. How did you get started in all of this stuff? This one doesn't have to be 10 seconds because it's the last one.
I was always doing it with and for friends. And during the pandemic, it just started morphing where some of my friends started asking me to do it. And then it was really fun. And then I thought like, well, and then it just kind of kept going from there. I never thought this, you know, and I think this is a piece of a larger puzzle. I never even imagined that this would be something I would be doing. But I, you know, I feel very comfortable in a service role. And it's very hard for me to connect one-on-one with people. So if there's some sort of a action or a framework or a service, it gives me a little bit more boundaries and protection. So for me, it's preferable to be doing. Yeah.
It's almost like a buffer, but also like a framework.
And it does help me connect, but not, it gives me a little safety. Right. Any role like that. I used to go-go dance. I used to have a job where I was writing about comedians and performers. So anything where I am like doing and not just directly exposed, I'm quite pleased.
So
you were a go-go dancer.
Like performing a little bit.
Yes, I'm an exhibitionist, and that's another thing we need to. We got to do something there. Yeah. So.
Well, so what does that really mean, exhibition? Exhibitionist during the medley. What the fuck is an exhibitionist?
I feel like it is still difficult for me. A one-on-one connection or a relationship, to quote my therapist, I have ambivalence about relationships. But the idea of me like performing and maybe getting paid for it and being seen turns me on. It makes me feel like I have more control or freedom or agency. Yeah. Again, I'm Mars in Pisces, which is a bombshell placement. So I like love giving a fantasy, even if I can't live up to it.
Interesting. Okay,
that's really kind of a beautiful ideal that I might steal for a song lyric.
That is amazing. And I relate to it because I feel like I am more comfortable. Like I'd rather not, as I'm doing a podcast, I'm saying I'd rather not speak to people and I'd rather be like doing like 100%, like performing and like you know, all that stuff. So I think I like I relate to that, interestingly enough.
Now, what led you to believe that the thing that you're going to reveal to us that you thought was your favorite thing is no longer?
Okay, this is, let's talk about this, okay?
Okay,
Like I said, I'm an Aquarius rising. I pride myself on being like non-moralistic, non-judgmental, like nothing freaks me out. I don't judge, but okay. Recently, I'm grappling with that because like people have been telling me about like stuff from their past or stuff that they've done or their own kind of shit show decisions that they've made. And there's been a part of me that's like, are you fucking crazy? And it's shocking me that I'm reacting that way and that I'm like judging them. And I think there's like some layers to it, which is that I started recovery in December, so I'm going through my own personal shit show history. Yeah. Thank you. But I'm like going through my own like shit show history and being like, oh God. You know, I'm learning about like consequences. And I guess I'm feeling like when people tell me their own insane behavior, I'm like, are you out of your mind? Like, what do you think is going to happen to you? You're just out there doing these things. Like, don't you understand that it's all going to come back to you? So I think I have my own like anger that maybe they're more free than I am in my head. This is totally all warped, but it's just been shocking. Cause I'm like, oh, I actually am quite judgmental. And I always thought that I was like, hey man, you know, but I'm actually like, when I was watching the Fran Lebowitz show, I was like, maybe I am like a cunt, and maybe like it's healthier for me to be like, what were you thinking, you know? Or like, are you out of your mind, rather than just like, okay, I hear you, interesting, let's think about, you know, I'm not anyone's therapist, so anyway, so I'm just kind of grappling with that. That said, of course, if I'm reading you and we're in the service, I would never judge anyone I'm ever reading. I'm talking about like with my close friends, like when your close friend tells you what they did over the weekend and you're like, what?
has this been since recovery, you think?
I think this is always who I've been, and it's now coming out. And I'm grappling with that.
I wonder if like before, when people would tell you things and you would just be like, oh, like, you know, whatever, that was the reaction that you'd want from other people when you did something bad. And now, since you're realizing consequences and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? That's now the reaction that you would want.
And that's making me wonder, like, yeah, maybe I, during all of my shit show moments, wanted to be seen and wanted someone to be like, okay, what's going on? And maybe that's what I need when one of my close friends is like, you know, I did meth this weekend. I should be like, okay, what's happening here? You know, rather than just like nodding my head, I should be like, okay, hello, what are we doing? So yeah, that's interesting.
Well, as far as some solace of comfort for you, I want you to know that is, I mean, not to sound like I'm like the expert on all things sober, because I'm a big drinker myself, but whatever you're sober from. My mom is 2 years sober now, and one of my clients who's on a TV show is a year sober, and they both have that same common thread that they were struggling within themselves, because they both were people who prided themselves on being super non-judgmental. And it was funny, before my mom had even said it recently, like, I think I'm being too judgmental recently, or I'm just being more judgmental in general. My brother and I said about her, she's probably being like this because of what we all just talked about. And so that's not, you're not alone in that. That's a thing that I think a lot of people begin to feel. And I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing, because I think that even like the idea of like, when you're hungover on like a Monday or a Tuesday and the world is moving on around you, it's like, okay, so this world has been moving pretty quickly around me while I was just like not there to see it.
Right.
And that's like a wild feeling, I feel like.
Sad feeling, yeah. Crazy.
When the party's over by, who sings that, Lorde or Billie Eilish? Did I make that up? That is that even a song?
It's a lyric. It's a lyric by Lorde, I think.
Okay.
And we wish her well. You know, we celebrate her. We are sending love to her.
Where is she? Where is that bitch?
The Lord above.
The Lord above.
Well, David, I'm really enjoying you as a guest thus far because you're very, very open and honest.
And non-judgmental. I'm just
kidding. And you're also not, I mean, from what we've seen. What is a shit show in your life, if you're comfortable sharing, that you just feel, because I've been realizing recently when I've been providing shit shows, there's certain ones that are just always under the surface that I'm like, why do I think about this all the time?
In the spirit of honesty, there was a shit show this weekend. Okay, so let me just put this in. The reason that I am also, by the way, getting so pissed off at people who are close to me is because I am repeating behaviors that I am not so thrilled with. Right. And so we had a shit show this weekend. So in the spirit of honesty, and also listen, I just want to say, like, I think for a lot of my 20s, I thought that any crazy or bad or dangerous or like sexy quote quote experience I had would like be a good story. And I do not want to continue that behavior because I also think that's toxic.
Oh, God,
so
that's the entire basis of our podcast.
Yes.
Only semi.
So for the sake of honesty, I do like want to exercise and cleanse this weekend's shit show, or at least the behavior of it, but not like turn it into like, look how wild I am. You know what I mean?
Well, you've come to the right place. That's exactly, I think, the mentality that we've worked with since starting this.
Great.
I mean, ours is literally about how to not do them again, but
or what you've learned or how you've grown or, you know,
I just think,
it's all just funny, like intricacies. Like, I think that's also the beauty in people is just like funny little fucked up intricacies that sometimes you can't really help. You know,
I agree.
So, and that's also in astrology, too.
All right, let's purge it, David.
David!
Okay.
Tell us.
So since I started recovery, I was like, you know what? Let's take some time off of having sex. I'm in kind of a sexual recovery program. I was like, let's take a break. No set rules. Like, I'm allowed to do whatever I want, but I was like, let's take a break. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this weekend I broke that celibacy just for very regressive reasons, which is this. Okay. I have a long standing addiction to what I call terminators, which are men with no possibility for expansive emotions, and certainly are less intelligent than I am. Mm-hmm. Perfect bodies, usually live in Manhattan, absolute narcissism, and so it's this is like a long-standing thing. God forbid I meet someone who is like interested in me, has an open heart, is able to connect on a human level. Mm-hmm. As soon as that happens, it's red flags. Get the hell out of my house, right? Okay. Yep. But if they are vaguely like murdery, or like, is he a cyborg? I'm like in it to win it. I truly do not want to keep this going. I am 30,000 years old. I've suffered enough. I've seen enough. Okay. We cannot keep doing this. And a huge breaking point that led me into recovery is that I was starting to meet people who were expressing interest, and I would completely catapult the friendship, romance, relationship, destroy it, and burn bridges. Meanwhile, if I could find one of these terminators, boom. So I am truly trying to correct that, and we're doing deep work on that. But this weekend, I sought one out, and you know,
What app were you on?
This was through Instagram. This was
very intimate.
Someone I made out with at a party in 2019, which should be plenty. You know, we don't. Right. If you make out with someone at a party, you don't need to follow up. It's never going
to
be good if you follow
up. What, like 8 years later?
Exactly. First of all, and secondly, like, have that beautiful memory of that the song that played. You know, if it didn't happen that night, there's nothing to build on. I'm telling you, anytime I've had like one time I hooked up with a DJ in the DJ booth, and it was like in fucking credit. Yeah. It was so hot. I was go-go dancing. He was DJing. Shut up. I should have said, like, you know what? God did good tonight. Let's leave it here. I, of course, tried to follow up. And it's like, it's you're going to be disappointed, babe.
David,
you
know,
you
can't,
lightning doesn't strike twice.
It's quit while you're ahead.
God forbid I ever learn to quit while I'm ahead. Ever. No, everything has to be burnt to the ground. So, yeah.
I love that shit.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's bad. Big. It's good. It's bad, good. It's good, bad.
I mean, I know what you mean by the follow-up, because I was like in a dark hole like three weeks ago, maybe. And I remembered this guy who, so I made out with him at this bar in DC. His name, well, I'm not going to say, let's say that his name is Kyle. I made out with this guy, Kyle, at this bar in DC. And Kyle was definitely cute, but I was just getting over a boy who lived in Morganstown. And it was like Valentine's Day weekend, and I was making out with this guy at the bar, and I was like, oh my God, like whatever. And he had my Instagram handle, and he was DMing me throughout the night. It was like, where are you at the bar now? Like, we had just exchanged handles when we met. And then I was like avoiding him at the bar for the rest of the night. And like looking back at it, I'm like, why the fuck was I doing that? He was so cute. Mm-hmm. And what was I thinking? And then I remember I like falsely promised him that I would go home with him. And then I made eye contact with him as I was leaving the bar. And I was like, that was crazy. So then I DM'd him the next day, and I was like, hey, I'm sorry about last night. I was really wasted. I would love to follow up. He lived in New York. And so I was like, you're close, like whatever. So I just started a conversation with Kyle again the other day on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So I followed up a year later, literally a year. I was like, it's the 1 year anniversary coming up that we made out. He's like, yeah. And so we were having a nice conversation. So then I was going through my explore page and somehow ended up in like QAnon verse. And I was just like looking at all these QAnon posts, and it was talking about, it was a post about Marjorie Taylor Greene and the Jewish space laser or whatever.
The lightning bolts. Thinks. Yeah, the space lasers. Yeah.
And he liked the post and commented a heart on it. And I was like, fuck you, Kyle. Like, what? Why? I never should have followed up. I should have left that as just a memory. And now I'm like, we've swapped saliva. Come on.
Also, this completely, talk about unraveling the universe. Like, you could make out with a guy at a bar and he's in QAnon and he's an anti-Semite. Like,
and he's Jewish.
What are the rules now?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Was he leaving the heart, like, ironically? No.
No, he was Marjorie Taylor Greene's like pussy wipe. Like, I was like, what is
going
on?
Oh my God.
And then I was like, let me go look at who he follows. You don't even want to know. I was like, and I know, I've noticed recently that people are like unfollowing people because of who they follow and like whatever. And I was like, I'm never going to get into that trope. And then once you see it, you just can't unsee it. And you convince yourself, you're like, they liked it by accident. He left a heart by accident.
Well, with gay people, it starts as irony and then it becomes real. You know, it becomes rancid. So that's a problem for us. Yeah.
Well, speaking of rancid, what are you into about the feet recently? Because are you into being submissive with the feet or the feeder? The footer.
Oh, I would love to like worship a beautiful foot.
Oh my God.
What is it?
Which is
about
the Mars in Pisces.
What is it about feet?
Why have we brought up feet so much recently?
This is nascent for me. You know, I don't want to speak for like the community. This is just something that turns me on and I'm interested in. I'm not on the like feet Reddit forum, so I don't want to offend anyone who's like has more experience. I just find
more foot traffic.
Okay, well, this is what was explained to me when I got my chart read.
Okay.
I have Mars in Pisces. Mars is very much like the drive, the masculinity, the sexual fire. Pisces is the sign of self-sacrifice. It's the sign of Jesus Christ, like dying on the cross. And, you know, every sign rules a different body part, and Pisces rules the feet. And the idea is that the feet are like on the ground and they are Pisces is the sign of the grand human collective consciousness. We're all one. And there's this idea with Pisces that it's like the feet are on the ground feeling all the vibrations. So that's the kind of spiritual aspect. Mm-hmm. There's just this, I like the idea of like consuming someone entirely and like losing myself entirely in someone. And there's something about the feet that's like very primal and like complete and full to me.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah.
We talked about this a couple episodes ago, and the word primal is along the theory that I've heard about it, where like mammals have such, they're so drawn, like think about like apes, for example, like they're always like picking like fungus like out of their primates and like their families and whatever, like whatever. And like humans are so, most humans are like very infatuated with like popping pimples. So there's like this like obsession with extracting like poison out of something. And with feet are like related to like fungus. So there's like some like primal, not to, I don't mean to gross you out, but I think there's something along the same lines as, being like very primal. Like you said.
I hadn't thought about that. That's fascinating.
Well, take it for David what you Christ. Will. I don't know. Okay.
David,
I'd honestly, really like.
What?
Yes.
Keep going. No, keep going.
I'd really like you to read both of our
Yeah,
birth
I was
charts.
Just going to say, I don't know how to do it. Like, I don't even know where to start. I've never had this done. And
Let's
David,
go.
Never mind.
Let's
I'm
go.
Not gonna say it.
Okay. I'm very
We're
going to
start with Morgan.
Yeah.
We'll start
okay,
with Morgan.
Yeah. Let's watch. Let's watch.
Okay.
What are we thinking? Do we want to do specific question, broad question, whatever you'd like?
So these are tarot cards, right?
Yes.
Oh, you have to
if that's
ask
what you
question,
want. You're, this is your podcast. You're in charge, okay?
I know you're in charge.
I don't need to do anything. So you tell me what
no,
you want.
No, you're in charge. But I don't. What if you don't want to ask Morgan? You can do it. Go.
I was going to say, do you do birth charts as well?
Yes.
Okay.
And transits.
Okay. What's transits?
Like your birth chart is like the astrology you were born with.
Yeah.
Transits is like, this is literally what's happening for you this year.
Can
like
we do
these planets are moving around this year.
Okay. Let's
Can
see.
We do like birth chart transit?
No.
Oh,
no. Because if I'm going to read your chart, I would want to like study it. I spend like many hours researching it.
Okay.
I break the whole thing down. Tarot, we can just like jump right
All right,
in.
Let's do tarot.
So, you know, again, if anyone's listening and would like an astrology reading, just know, you know, so much work goes into it.
Yeah.
Tarot is more in the moment and we see what comes up and we interpret it together.
All right.
Okay.
Let's do tarot. Okay. So my overarching wonder of the world in my world, because I'm a Leo, is I just want to know about success and happiness. In whatever sense of the word. I don't necessarily know what it means for me yet. And I'd like to get on the track of finding it.
We're just going to do three cards. Okay.
Okay.
Great. Oof. So to start, we have the Ten of Cups.
Okay.
I'm going to break everything down. Judgment reversed.
That doesn't look good.
And then we have the King of Wands. So to start, we have the Ten of Cups. We have Judgment reversed. Mm-hmm. And then we have the King of Wands.
Okay. I'm nervous for sure.
First of all, before I say anything, are you seeing anything? Is anything jumping out at you? I'm not asking you if you know the intrinsic meaning. I'm just saying, are you seeing anything?
I'm just seeing a lot of red.
Okay.
I'm also seeing a rainbow, at like in a pot of gold with the Ten of Cups, which makes me feel hopeful. I see like regality in the King of Rods,
wands.
And the middle one freaks me out a little bit because it's upside down.
Okay, I love that. Boys, do you have anything you want from the peanut gallery?
Yeah. Well, the middle one to me. caught my eye the most. It looks like, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that this is what it is, but it looks like somebody's being murdered to me. And, okay. Oh, okay. So it's actually a guy playing a horn or a trombone or clarinet. And I'll notice the rainbow right away as well.
Okay. So great. I love all of that. So we'll start with, we're just going to talk about what we're seeing and then we can kind of put the pieces together. To start, we have the Ten of Cups, okay? Cups, so the tarot and astrology are divided into the four elements, air, water, fire, earth, okay? So you have your, you know, in astrology, Leo is a fire sign, for instance. Okay, cups is water. Water is intuition, empathy, love, emotion. It's kind of the inner spiritual side, okay? Mm-hmm. 10 is a number of completion. So 10 is often, 10 can be overkill, but 10 can also be kind of a perfect completion. The issue with a lot of cups cards is that dreams and intuitions can veer into delusions. And when we see the 10 of cups, we see these two lovers who, it's kind of like, when I see 10 of cups, I think of the end of Little Mermaid, which is Ariel and Eric, and then... you know, King Triton puts the rainbow in the sky. It's kind of a perfect happy ending. So we know from the start that there is this vision, this dream of kind of a closure and a perfection for your career. Okay. Then we come to judgment, which is when it gets interesting. Judgment, if we think of judgment, yes, you could think of it on a literal sense. It when we see this horn, it's more about like the Christian idea of judgment, which is a horn sounds and we all, the rapture comes and we're all pulled up to heaven, right? So when we see judgment, it's about this call and this kind of moment of awakening and of your destiny coming. Your judgment is reversed. So to me, there's a bit of a challenge here, which is basically saying, okay, you're a Leo. We know that you have this kind of star power and this ability to be received and it's kind of guaranteed. There is this aspect with career that I think a lot of us who are creative have, which is when is my moment? Like, when am I getting called to heaven? When do I have to stop like slumming it in this shit that we call life? And when will I be like taken up on the UFO basically? Yeah. So to me, the cards are kind of saying that there is a certain amount of, which isn't to say that you don't work hard, but I'm just seeing a certain amount of like, okay, I'm just waiting for my moment and then none of this will matter. That's kind of what I'm seeing in the cards. Wow. And that's coming from my own experience too of like, well, when I am successful or when I'm famous, I won't have to deal with this shit anymore. Right. So I'm just wondering, and you tell me what you're feeling here, if this is resonating, but just from these two cards, and we'll get to the third one, from these two cards, there maybe is a seduction of like a passivity until... it, whatever it is, happens for you.
Yeah.
And this sense of maybe a resistance to reconciling the current reality until that moment happens.
Yes. So okay. I'm very good at going with the flow, like almost like too good at it, where I seem like someone who would like take control of my life in every aspect, but I'm someone, not a bystander, but I'm extremely passive, like you said. So like whether it's work, friends, relationships, like things just like roll off my back. And I think it has something to do with a little bit of laziness, a little bit, but like when I do find a passion, like you like can bet your bottom dollar that I will do it at 310%. And I just won't do it at 310% until it's like that actual thing that I've been dreaming of. And I don't even know what I'm dreaming of. Like, I don't know what the end result or the goal is. I explain it like this. Like, I have explained it like this, like where I know that I'm going to find what I ultimately want to do and what my passion is and all that, you know, all that stuff. But when I look at it, like, it's like kind of like a blurry screen. Like, there's something behind the screen, but it's like a blurry screen where everything is just kind of like muddled and like blurred together. But I know something's there. Like some people have such a clear vision and such a clear path. I know that like it's there. I'm just looking at it through like a very blurred screen.
Yeah. And I think what these, we're going to get to the third card. I think what these two cards are trying to kind of bring you down a little bit to like right now, because there is this idea of like, one day it's all going to make sense for me. Like one day it'll all click for me. And I think the cards are kind of saying like, you know, let's get going right now. Rather like there will be, I think we're getting the Ten of Cups. We know that there is that moment of integration and completion, but it's not this thing that you can just kind of like hope happens any day now and your life starts to make sense. There's this aspect of like, which is where we come to the third card. We have the King of Wands. Okay.
Okay.
Wands, he's holding this giant phallic and vaginal wand, which is like a dick. Wands are fire. You're a Leo. Leo is a fire sign. Fire is an active element. Fire is drive, passion, sexuality, creativity. It's very active. If you take it, you go for it.
Yeah.
The king rules the wands kingdom. So the king is, if we think of wands as creative action, the king has everything happening and he is running the whole show. He's running the kingdom. The king is sedentary. The knight is more like leaves the kingdom, goes on mission. So the king, and if we think about Leo as a fixed sign, Leo is not going out into the world saying, look at me, I want attention. Leo is actually, you can come to me if you want to see me.
That's exactly
so
right.
It's not about you running around or scrambling, but there is this idea of you kind of grabbing your dick in a way. Like of you being like, okay, I'm fucking doing this. I'm actually the one running the show here.
Yeah.
To me, I'm getting a sense with the Ten of Cups and Judgment. There's a sense that someone else needs to give you permission, or there's some invisible force maybe in your head that you think is running the show. And when your time comes, you'll emerge on the stage. The King of Wands is just saying, any more agency or action you can be taking right now, and more of a sense that you feel behind the wheel, will get you out of this blur.
Yeah. 100%. I feel like stagnant. Like I feel like I'm going through the motions, and that's something I'm like not very good at, or it depresses me. Like essentially going through the motions depresses me. And I always feel like I pick like the hard way out. Like I pick things in like my career, for example, where I want to be good at, but it's not necessarily what I'm naturally born to do.
But the born to do thing, that to me is the other issue, which is this idea, again, we're getting this card of calling reverse, this idea of like, maybe my real calling, I haven't discovered it yet. And when I know, I know. I think we really need to be challenging that line of thought, which is like, there is this one thing that is your destiny and that you have to figure it out. I think we need to be a little bit more, because that becomes an all or nothing mentality.
Yeah.
And I think it makes it harder for you to integrate what you're doing now and what you're enjoying now into a bigger mosaic, you know?
Yes, 100%. That was really good, really accurate.
That was crazy, because I feel like there were so many things in there. And like, obviously I love Morgan so much, but there's so many things in there that I feel like I've tried to tell Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, well, maybe she'll believe them now because they're tarot cards.
Well, thank you for being so open to do it. Like,
of course.
That was good.
A live
that
audience.
Was great.
Well, so back to my question. And then we can get to Anthony, because I want to see Anthony's. But back to my question before, earlier in the beginning, was what do you think is like the number one reason people like get their cards read and everything like that? And I think it's just like people want like people need guidance sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's
very and true. Yeah, and by the way, this is all stuff you already know. I am not telling you anything new. I am not reading your mind. I am not reading the future. This is all stuff you already know.
Right.
And it just like that. I think it gives you more to work with.
100%.
I think that's more valuable though. Like when you go to somebody who reads people, I think it's more valuable than them being like, one day you're going to, you know, dye your hair blonde. It's like anybody could do that.
Right.
But like when they tell you something that's already within you, they just draw it out. That makes it more valuable, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I feel like
thank
I'm
you
like
so
talking
much, David.
Like I'm in like an old movie.
Thank you.
No, you're not. You're good, Aunt.
I feel like I've just been like kind of talking like this. And I'm
again,
like,
Housewives changes you, you know? It really changes you.
David, you're like so like, I can't say
you're
it.
You're so cute. All right, Anthony, go, go. Anthony, go.
All right.
No pressure, babe.
I,
I don't have a question.
No pressure.
Like, that's the thing. Okay. Can you just do it and then I'll figure it out? Or is that not how it works?
I can. But
I just have to make you exert more energy.
It's just like, it's
framework.
Maybe okay, this is my own trauma, but yeah.
All right, let's do my love life. Go, please.
Love life. Great. Okay. Is there any part of that you want to focus on besides, you know, neo-Nazis?
No.
Okay.
Maybe how to avoid them. I'm just kidding. That's not a frequent experience.
Okay. Okay. So we have the Ace of Wands. No, yeah, the Ace of Wands. Beautiful. We have the Star reversed.
Okay.
And then we have the Ace of Swords reversed. So before I start, what are we seeing? Well, what's jumping out?
The one all the way to your right, the Ace of something, I can't read it, looks
Ace of
like,
Wands?
Yes, that one looks like a plant to me, like almost mm-hmm. like a flower that's dying or like bloom, like either dying or blooming, but to me it looks more like dying. And then the one in the middle also like looks flowery to me for some reason, also kind of like a flower dying.
Okay.
Now to me, it kind of looks like the Wizard of Oz, like a path to something. And then the last one looks like kind of what it is, like a sword, but like it looks like a sword, but like not a sharp sword. Like, okay. like we're not seeing the tippy sharp part.
I love that idea. That's good. Yeah.
Can I say something?
By all means.
So Anthony, when I first saw all these, it reminded me of Big Mouth. And like the dead flower that you guys put in your inner motion, your emoji.
So weird. I was thinking that too, but I didn't want to be too specific. Yeah, I wrote a song and I had an artist friend of mine make a lyric video and he did a lot of flowers in reverse dying and then back in motion. And it reminded me a lot of that. These are like it's imagery that I really like.
I also want to say too, it looks very like lateral, like up and down.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Well, to start, we have the Ace of Wands. So that's great to pull. Like I said, the Ace of Wands is sexuality, creativity. The Ace is the first card in the house. So the Ace is that first bloom. So it's supposed to be a blooming wand. I love the idea that you see it as a dying wand. So that's very interesting. And we'll keep that in mind. But I theoretically, when we see this, we see the budding, a budding sexual desire, a budding fire, so kind of a new burning life, but that is part of a cycle of decay, death, rebirth, bloom. So interesting to keep that in mind. So clearly we're at some point in a cycle. It sounds like I think we're at the end of one cycle and a new cycle is beginning for you. Mm-hmm. What does that entail? The star.
You keep going.
We have the Star reversed.
Okay.
What sign is the star associated with? Aquarius. We are
David.
In
Star of David. I'm just kidding.
Totally. I will read up on that any minute now. Aquarius. We are in an Aquarian era right now. Jupiter and Saturn are in Aquarius. We just ended Aquarius season. Aquarius is the sign of higher ideals, higher ethos, higher community, looking forward, thinking bigger. And the diametric opposite of Aquarius is Leo. Leo is a egocentric self-presentation for the sake of the collective. So Leo is the face. Aquarius is the kind of the point behind the face. Leo steps out into the world. Aquarius is what they step out for. Okay. So we're getting the star reversed. The star, the idea is that there is this higher thing guiding you, this higher principle, this higher light guiding you. We're getting it reversed, okay? And then finally, we come to the Ace of Swords. Usually with the Ace of Swords upright, the sword is pointing into the earth. It's grounding you. Swords is air. Aquarius is an air sign. Swords is air. Air is intellect. It's the mind. It's the things you cut out. It's choices. It's kind of your higher thought processes, your rationality. It's not sentimental. When this card is upright, we have the sword in the ground rooting you, but you got it reversed. So the sword is pointing up, kind of like the wand, which I loved you pointed out, the verticality. The sword is pointing up to the heavens. So it's looking up to your higher ideals. So to me, and I want to know what you think about this, but the reading I'm getting is, I think you might need to get a bit more in touch with your higher ethos that's guiding your desire, that's guiding who you're attracted to and what happens. Yes. Because the star reversed and this sword going up into the air are basically saying, on an intellectual level, when you are meeting people, how are they aligning with your values? And when they don't align with your values, how much are you okay with that? And what's more, what are you projecting into the world? That is, if we think of the Leo versus Aquarius, in terms of the Aquarian elements of this is what I'm about, this is what I believe in, this is what's important to me, how much of that is going out into the world versus the more Leo aspect, which is, this is me, look at me, this is who I am. How can that ego death, there's a bit of an ego death that needs to be happening here, essentially. That's what I'm seeing. But what's coming for you?
Yeah, I mean, I hate the idea that like I'm hearing what I wanted to hear. But not what I wanted to hear, what I think I needed to hear, which is essentially what I wanted to hear, which is that I think for me, what often happens is I get very attracted to things. Well, I've had a lot of values things recently. I actually said it on our, and it doesn't have to do with love life, really. It was our New Year's episode where I talked about kind of maybe harshly like cutting out people with values that I don't think really align with mine. Mm. And how much of a slow burn that it is, because it's so like painstakingly heartbreaking to have to say to somebody who might not be like viscerally aware of the differences, like for me, I just can't do it. Mm. And that's not even in love life, that's just in general. But another thing that you talked about was maybe what I do with guys is I go for somebody who is like so appealing to me because maybe we just share like one common interest that I'm like, that means so much to me. And I don't really act like myself. And it's like, okay, that's not their problem. I should always be able to act like myself in front of somebody. And maybe like there will be great people in front of me like very frequently that I won't go for because it's not like, like I look at things very like we have to like meet at the lockers and then it's like this and then it's like am I making any sense? Like I want it to be like this romantic thing, but then there are people who are like romantic people that will come to me and I'm like, no, I don't want it. So I want
swords,
what I can't have.
Swords are discernment. Okay, so only when swords were a thing, only the nobility could carry swords. They're very heavy, and they're a way of cutting people down. The idea of a sword is you using your mental faculties to discern and to say, actually, this does not fit with my non-negotiables. This does not fit with my values. I am cutting this out before it even begins. I'm saying this to myself because, as I just described, my taste in men is so bleak. But this is this reminder of kind of you reclaiming this ability, which I think goes with the wand. If we think of the wand as like, again, your dick, there is this idea of you saying like, no, he's not coming. Like I am in charge here and I'm deciding who's getting this. And it's based on these kind of higher values. And then, you know, that's what we're coming into. So to me, I think it's a question of like this intellectual discernment that's needing to be happening. And it's not a sentimental process.
Oh, totally. It's not a sentimental process. That was really helpful because I mean, I don't know if this is what you were saying, but maybe what I took from
doesn't matter.
Is that to like stop going for like these things that if I know that the person is either pulling away or I like want it to be something that it's not, to just like know when it's
time to go. Like I might think that it's still like flowery and like amazing. And I always try to get that back. I'm like, but remember like 3 days ago when we were talking like this? And now it's different. And it's like, if it's different, it's different. And that's it. And so,
which is beautiful with the Ace of Wands, as we were saying earlier, it's supposed to be this card of blooming, but you saw it as a card of death. So I love there's this idea of these like cycles where it's like, okay, this thing is not working anymore. This thing has died on the vine. And you being able to, again, with the swords, rationally, non-sentimentally, be like, okay, we're good. Gnug, this isn't it, you know?
Wow, David. Thank you so much. I mean,
no,
that
thank
really
you.
Was.
This was so fun. Such
that
treat.
Was great.
That was great.
I mean, this is something that Morgan and I talk about. So, and usually Morgan's like, we both, listen, we've known each other for a really, really, really long time. And we have things that we both mutually do for each other. I think Morgan, like, very much so creatively inspires me. And she's somebody who I enjoy spending most of my time with, usually. Mm-hmm. And I know that Morgan provides, I hope that I provide for her guidance in other ways. And I
you
think
do.
That our relationship is not only like beneficial to each other, but it's almost like mutually exclusive, like in a weird way. Like there's only one Morgan and one Anthony, and like nobody ever can really fit that other puzzle piece.
Mm-hmm. It's 100%.
But something that we really bond over a lot is this stuff. I'm not really in tune to a lot of it, but I do read people.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound crazy.
He
I'm
does.
An over empath,
yeah.
And I'm good at giving advice and telling people stuff about them, but I don't take any of it.
Same.
Well, because everybody's different too. That's what's so hard about taking your own advice, I feel like. So I think this card reading was really, really helpful. But yeah, Anthony is a super empath. I've seen it many, many a times. It's incredible.
Well, David, where do you think that you're at to close this out? Where do you go from here and where you are?
I mean, well, it's that exact thing of like, I am in the part of the cycle where I'm like, you know, what I would describe as waking up during anesthesia, which is I am aware mm-hmm. of the behaviors that are not constructive and I can fully
totally.
See it happening, which means that I'm coming out of its orbit, which is good, but I'm not like fully crossed over yet. And I'm clearly resisting like stepping through the portal into something more healthy and nurturing. So I'm in this space of, I know what the proper action to take is. I've gotten the good advice and I am struggling mm-hmm. with it. So I am there too. That's yeah. where I am.
Well, I feel like sometimes yeah. advice, like, it's not meant to change people, but it's like when you are listening to advice, like, you think you have to change. And it's like you just have to alter, like, a little bit. It's tough.
Yes.
I don't know.
Well,
it's hard.
You've certainly altered me and Morgan.
Mine, me too.
And I think that other people would like to be altered by you. So where can people find you on Instagram? And
this is such
where
a pleasure.
Morgan, we need to do a segment where we rate our outros because we always find a creative way to be like, well, I think that blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. So where can they find you on Instagram? And where can they find your podcast, who's produced by our, or not produced, but just say what you're going to say.
Go you can follow me on Instagram at David_Odyssey. Classically, Odyssey is spelled Odyssey. I think that's a point of confusion for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So David_Odyssey. I host a podcast called The Luminaries with David Odyssey, which is like a little bit of everything. And I talk a lot, but among other things, I often do like celebrity chart readings. So we just did Britney Spears astrology last week.
Oh, that's
so,
so cool.
There's all sorts of treasures to be found there.
Yeah.
And that's through Authentic, wherever podcasts are sold. And yeah, no, this was such a blast. Thank you,
that's
all three of you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, David. Ah, I'm like,
thank
you. I
don't
want to
get
off.
If any of your listeners would like a reading, let me know. We will book it.
Yes.
The books are open, babe.
Yeah, the books are fucking open,
I think I'm
going
to, I
want to,
if you have time, if you find time, a birth chart reading, I would love that. Or transit.
Babe, this is business. There is always time. And yes, we should do a full reading because, yeah, we'll really like get into it. It's not something you can do in like, you know, a few minutes.
Yeah,
we need like a full. We'll get. I would love to get cracking with you. That would be so fun.
That'd be so fun. Thank you so much, David.
The shit show.
Yeah, that was a shit show.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.